church. If you've had as busy and good week as we have, you've had a great time. It's good to see so many with us this morning. Welcome all the visitors that have come to be part of our gathering together. And I love that, as Ian has just said, that at last chorus that we rely on God. And we have to rely on God. I'm up here again. This is, Pastor Laurie said this morning, it's a bit like the old days, isn't it? Preaching every day. In the old days, it was morning and evening. Can you imagine putting together two sermons every week? I shudder at the thought. But a few weeks ago, I preached on seasons, and that was a season. This is a season. Everything is a season, whether it's the season of your life, the season of your work, season of your suffering, the season of great joy, the season of sorrow. Everything is a season. And then I spoke just recently on those two words. I don't know whether it impressed you, but it sure impressed me. Position and condition. Position and condition. And they are so important to our walk. And that came out this morning with Colin, speaking of our walk with Christ. And today I'd like to speak to you about, it's not how we start, but how we finish. And when I thought about the seasons, it's how we start any particular season and how we finish the season. When we started up the church down at Yankalilla, we had no idea what the season would be, how long it would be, whether it would finish in joy or despair or just totally collapse. I'm glad to hear that it's still going really well and there's 30, 40 people turning up down there each week. So it's a joy that that succeeded in that season. It succeeded. And the season that we're in now, we're all in a season of one sort or another. And it doesn't matter how you snuck into the season. And sometimes I look back on life and I know that I've been guided into a season without knowing I'm going in there. Faith and I are going into a season at the moment. We've been in a new season for a few months now. But we got no idea where it's going. We know, no idea whatsoever how long it'll last. But I know it is for a season. And when God calls us into something, if we put our heart and our trust in Him, the season will end up good. Because He doesn't lead you into something to end up in rubbish. That's not God's way. God will lead you into a season. And the joy is, He sees the end product. Sometimes I don't even realize we've started a new one. And while we trust in the Lord and walk with the Lord, we can be assured that we'll finish the season to His good will and His good pleasure. Haven't had my lunch yet. Sometimes we'll be in a season, we'll come out of a season, we think, oh, didn't do too good in that. I know when I packed him running the church down in Normie, I sort of thought, I don't think I've made such a tremendous job of this. But God called us to establish the church, not to make a huge, great, massive success of it. That's His business, because He said, I will build my church. And I like the other bit, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And if we rely on that, rely on what God is doing, whether we think it's a good ending or not. If we have fulfilled what He calls us to do, it's a good ending. Father, we pray that You'll bless this word once again to us. Open our eyes to what You want us to do. Guide us through whatever season we happen to be in, and bring us out successfully, Father. That somewhere down the track we can look back on it and rejoice, give thanks, know that we fulfilled your calling in that particular time. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Tim 4, 1 and 8 says, do you ever get that time in life where you're just not prepared? I'm in that place. Usually I have this all set up and in place, and I won't say we've been too busy, but we have been busy. And Faith is now 70 years old. And I'm glad it's all over and done with. She even had some more flowers this morning. Where are you? Unbelievable. Isn't it great when your birthday goes on and on and on? I had 4 cakes for mine in 4 different places. Boy, did she make that one last. In 2 Tim 4, 1 and 8, 1 through to 8, golly, I've got to read that lot. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Oof, we could preach just on that, couldn't we? What a frightening scripture. Think about it. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I think that time's upon us now, isn't it? People are just turning away from the Lord in droves. But according to their own desires, because they have itchy ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears and their eyes away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful. In all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing, you and I. Isn't that wonderful? I have fought the good fight. And sometimes our life seems to be a huge battle, a massive fight, an ongoing worry, a continuous nagging, and Paul says it there. I have fought the good fight. And it's up to us. And some of us find ourselves in circumstances where we've got to fight and fight and fight until we really get worn out and tired of the fighting. Faith and I are lucky. We have time to sit aside in the morning and pray. And it's amazing how many times that thought comes to my mind. Lord, I'll be glad when it's all over. You know, I'm old. And just leave it there, okay? I've seen an awful lot of life. And the biggest part that really gets on my wick in life is the bit that goes on between here and here. That battle within, that never-ending nagging from Satan for me to do something wrong, to say something wrong, to think something wrong, to not do something that's right. And we read, Faith and I read this morning in Romans 7, when Paul did that wonderful set of scriptures that were put in the Bible specifically for me. I don't do the things that I want to do, and I do the things that I don't want to do. And I don't know whether that sets you free or binds you up, because it can do both. But I'm glad it's there, because I look forward to that glorious place where there's no more nagging. There's no more tempting. There's no more watching the TV and seeing the stupidity, ignorance, lust and greed of mankind pouring out of the screen at us. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have a TV and turn it on and joy would come out of it and good things would come out of it and great possibilities would come out of it and great exhortations would come out of it? I don't know whether I've got the wrong TV or not, but dear Lord, come soon. I look forward to that wonderful place where Satan will not be able to nag into my mind, will not be able to turn my eyes to where they shouldn't be turned, to be able to come into that place where the light is strange, because the light up there is not like the lights that we have here. It's not like the sun that we have coming from heaven. It's a light that'll go right through you, that is everywhere. There's no shadow. Can you imagine that? You look around you here and see the shadows. I long to be in that place where this life is no more. I could get sidetracked down that very easily. At the end of that scriptures in Romans 7, Paul says, who will deliver me from this body of death? Praise God, Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm not really looking forward to the transition, but I'm looking forward to getting there. Perhaps I'll be a lucky one and I'll go to sleep and wake up in his arms. Yes, it's a battle. So we go through things like Ephesians 6, 12, 10 to 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And many times in our lives, that's something we need to do. To be strong in the Lord. Not in our own ways, not in our own thoughts, not in our own strength, but the strength of the Lord. And sometimes we need wisdom in speaking, and we ask the Lord, Lord, your strength, your words, your encouragement, your wisdom. And in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's something else. You get sick of standing against him. I look forward to that time when, and we were talking about it somewhere this morning. And you see, that's right. We're talking about going to that place of peace, that wonderful retirement place of peace. And somebody, that's a bit of a bison, said it's a very noisy place up there. And I said, well, I'm going to pop up there when they have that half hour of silence. I'm going to sit on a cloud and plinky plonk a harp. We don't have to do anything or fight any more battles. We sing that song, you know, the battle is won. The battle is won. And we'll continue to fight these battles till the day he calls us home. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And sometimes we think we've gone wrong because we've gone wrong. But it's a battle. It's an ongoing battle. And our word today is, it's not how we start that battle, it's how we finish that battle. And in each season, it's how we finish each season. And sometimes we finish the season by failing. But guess what? There's another battle around the corner. There's another season around the corner. God gives us another go at knocking it over, of beating it, coming out on top, and finishing good. Romans 7:23 says, but we see another law in our members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Isn't that a huge battle? Have you ever noticed that a child comes into life and you never ever have to teach a child to do wrong? You don't. We're biased wrong from birth. We're biased to do something wrong from birth. I don't know anybody that's had to teach a child, hey, kid, I want you to smash this up. He already knows how to smash it up. If he doesn't, the TV will soon show him. You don't have to tell a child how to run around the place having tantrums in the shopping centre or screaming and kicking like I did on the floor. Dad wanted to chuck me out of the window. We were two stories up. We've got to teach our children and ourselves to do what's right. Isn't that horrible? That's another reason I'd like to step over and go on to the other side. I don't have to teach you to be right. You're right anyway. Because your position hasn't changed. Condition does all the time. 2 Tim 2:4 says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. The day, the second that we gave our hearts to the Lord, we joined an army. We put on a uniform. Trouble is, we don't show other people that uniform too often. You notice the Muslims? They're never frightened of showing them. They've got their uniform on all the time. Christians, some Christians walk around with a flipping great cross hanging around their necks. And excuse me if anybody does in here, but that's not the sign. The sign is how you're finishing in the season that you're in. Does somebody know? Your neighbours, your friends, brothers and sisters in Christ know what you're going through? How are you standing up to it? Have the wheels fallen off your wagon? How are you reacting to it? Are you showing others the joy of the Lord? James, count it all joy when you fall into various tribulations, trials, and horrible days. We are surrounded by such a great cloud. How are we reacting? How are they watching us? How are we standing up? Have we got the army in place? I have finished the race, our text says. When Paul says, I've finished the race, he knew his time had come. He knew he'd come to the end. He knew how he was finishing his life with Christ. He suffered, but he got there. He was never deterred. Now, Colin said this morning, I think it was Colin, saying about the road, walking down the road, and the signs take us off left or right. And we have that free choice to get off the straight road and go left or right. We've got that choice. And as soon as we take the wrong road, we're damaging our finish. But praise God, he never gives up. He never leaves us alone. He may put us through some horrible moments to get us back on that main road so that we can finish far better than we started. But we have the free choice to turn off the straight and narrow. It's a marathon. Some people are, I think some people, I remember a guy up at Paradise. He was a huge, great guy. I did Christian growth in his house. And at the start of Christian growth, we'd have a little prayer time and sing a song. He made a habit of disappearing just before we were going to start. So one day I followed him. It was in the toilet, and I stood outside the toilet door and waited till he came out. It's not how you start. He started terribly. I had an awful job doing Christian growth in his house. He kept ducking out. He wanted to miss it. He lasted 3 months. 3 months. He brought hundreds of people to the Lord. Hundreds of people. This, you remember Gary that used to be here? Big man, big bikey. Well, this guy was like that. It was just huge. And you can just see him looking down at people. You must come to the Lord. You must come to the Lord. You know, he was a bit bigger than me. And when he died, we went to his funeral, and Paradise was packed out with people that he had touched. See, it wasn't how he started. It was how he finished. It wasn't how he set in to those early days of Christian growth. Praise God, they're done. That's a season I'm quite happy to see back out of the way. But it was how he finished. How he finished. All those people crammed into paradise. You know, you get 4,000 people in that joint. Used to. Because he had touched so many. So many people came to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for sending him. 3 months. 3 months. Now, I consider he's lucky. So some people come to the Lord in their early years and they live to 80, 90 years old and they battle for all those years. He only battled for 3 months. But what a 3 months. What a 3 months. It's a marathon. We need to go the distance. Hebrews, and I haven't got teeth at all just about. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. Run with endurance, not keep knocking. Keep on going. When you fall down, stand up. When you get knocked down, stand up. But just keep on going, because you can't end well if you don't end. We've probably all seen people that have come to the Lord, been full on going for the Lord, and they fall away. They just disappear. They're just no longer part of it. I had a guy ring me the other day saying that he's left the church. I've had enough. I'm out of the church. And he ran in and raved and carried on. You've got to go through those sort of things and keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Who knows what your next season is going to be? Who knows what the next thing the Lord is going to call you to do? Who knows what glorious things you're going to achieve before that day comes when the Lord knocks and says, hey, you can come up here now. Unless you keep on keeping on, you may miss out on the greatest opportunity of your life. If you give up to something that's bothering you today, you may miss out on the glory of seeing many people come to the Lord. You may miss out on reaching out and touching people and seeing healing take place there and then. But we keep on and we keep on and we keep on and we pray and we cry out to the Lord and we trust in the Lord and we seek the Lord and we walk on that path that's straight, because it goes straight to heaven eventually. In 1 Corinthians 9:24-27, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Praise God. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. And that wonderful word that the Lord sunk into my spirit right in the early days, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. Because you only fool yourself. The power of the word to fulfill the word helps to keep us on the straight and narrow. 1 Corinthians 3:14, if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. Now, as I said about the church down at Yankalilla, when I finished down there, I didn't think I'd done a particularly good job. Others said I did, but we have expectations that are sometimes higher than we point at. And that work has endured. It's still going today. And I can't take anything out of that, because it's God building his church. He used me to start it. Somebody else is working on it. We just need to, as Paul said, I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. And that's how I think one of our greatest tools to keep going, as we keep faith in God. We keep faith in what our condition is today is not upsetting, turning away, destroying our position in God. I think every time you hear me preach from now on, those two words are going to pop out. They impress me, I think, more than some of you guys. Number three, it's a deposit. Guard the flame. I don't know about you, but when we first came to the Lord, we only came because my wife was having terrible arthritis in her hips. We tried all the tablets and acupuncture and hoodoos and all the rest of it. And somebody kept saying, go to paradise, go to paradise, get healing, get healing. Go to paradise, get healing. So eventually we went there. And I used to, you've probably heard me say this a thousand times. I used to give Faith, Monica, my first wife, go up, quick, get your healing. Let's get the hell out of here. Quick, quick, go up. They're all stupid in here. They're all queer. They're all jumping up and down and doing funny things. Quick, get your healing. Let's get the hell out of here. Because that was my start. That was my start. I thought you people were all nuts. They were even more nuts there because they were standing shoulder to shoulder, raising their hands and jumping up and down. Oh, man, it was a nut place. But God put a flame in both our hearts, and we got to keep that flame blowing. We've got to keep that flame burning. We've got to do it by our faith, by our walk with God, by our fellowship with each other, by our reading of the Word, by that continuous walk and not looking to the left or the right. Yeah, we look. Of course we look. I'm a man. I look both sides. But you've got to keep going down the road. And that way the fire will continue to burn in our spirits. It can't be blown out, but we can let it dwindle. Romans 12:3 says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. And life changes from that moment on. When God puts that measure of faith in us, can you imagine? Here we are. We're all in, 200 of us, in a big room, praying, and somebody walks in the door with a match and puts a light on top of each one of their heads. Wouldn't that be fantastic? But God's ways are far better than our ways. He just blew a wind and everybody had a fire coming out the top of their heads anyway. What a brilliant way. I mean, we walk in there with a match, blump, 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 that one won't work, blump, 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 that. Oh, you're lucky. Oh, sorry, you're lucky. No, a wind blew in and touched every single person in that place and lit a flame in there that nobody could blow out. Such a burning of desire for the ways of God is what he gives us when we first come to the Lord. Can you remember those days when you were going to go out and save everybody? We were right up at Paradise and we were at Para Hills, and every time we're looking for somebody to pick up. You know, you go up the main north road, oh, there's somebody, scream to a halt, get them. When they're in the car, you can bore them to tears with the ways of Christ. Hey, I'm saved, I'm going to save you too and save everybody else. Nowadays, I see somebody on the road, I keep going because I think they might do me in. Times have changed. Or have they? Or do I not have that same enthusiasm that I had when I first came to know the Lord? When that fire was lit in my heart and I was going to save the whole world. I know many of you guys must have felt the same when you first accepted Christ into your life. Wow, this is good. Wow, hallelujah, Lord. I'm going to go down here and I'm going to pick up this person and I'm going to tell them all about Christ, and before they let them out of my car, they're going to be saved. They've got the hand, you know, the hand on the handle. Quick, stop the car. Let me out of here. But you keep the flame going anyway. Perhaps the flame isn't so sharp. Perhaps it's broader now. And we're able to talk to people in a quieter voice, in a more controlled way, listening to the Spirit, being guided by the Spirit, and actually seeing people touched for good, for always, forever. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Luke 19:17, and he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. that sort of implies to me that when we move into heaven, we're still working. Now, I'm quite happy, Lord, to just look after a little village somewhere, a nice little cloud, all playing harps. I don't really want a big bustling city, Lord, with lots of people crying for my attention. But if he gives us the ability to fulfill on earth, what's he going to give us up there? It's going to be a joy. And I'll finish. Oh, we're going to finish early today. Early lunch again. I'll finish with Jude 1:24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God, who is our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory, majesty, dominion, power, both now and forever. Amen. God bless you. As you go through this labyrinth of life, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Another one of the old choruses, Laurie. Rely on him, be faithful to him, and finish the race the way Paul did, knowing that he had succeeded in all that the Lord had asked of him. And there are some people in this room this morning that are just going through life one day at a time, and one day God is going to knock on your door and another door is going to open, and you're going to see wonderful things. In these last days, God is looking for people that will stand up and proclaim. And I believe, really believe, there are some in this room that are going to see that joy. God bless you. Have a great week.